thank you for being here. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do I follow Jesus? I think it's a very good question, because I am convinced that there are many people who claim to be Christians who simply cannot answer why they follow Jesus. What motivates us to follow Him? Is it fear? Love? Is it because of our parents or our grandparents? Motives matter. And I think we understand that. Understanding the importance of motives leads us to this question again. Why do we follow Jesus? I appreciate Brother Mike reading John chapter 6, verse 22 through 29. Because we see these people here in verse 26 of John chapter 6. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. These people followed Jesus around. They even got in boats to follow him. And the reason was not because they loved him or fear or because of their parents. They were following Jesus because of the food that he provided. And if you read all the way down to verse 35 and actually basically through the rest of the chapter, you're going to find out that these people, they simply were following because not of the miracles, not because of what Jesus represented and what he had to offer other than the food. They probably couldn't tell you why they followed except what they could get, the food that Jesus provided. Some people cannot see beyond their own physical wants and needs. They're drawn for what Jesus can do for them. They follow for the blessing, not the one who gives the blessing. And it's sad to say that many in the, quote, church world, denominational world, and even sadly some in the Lord's church, what can the church do for me? What does the church offer that would want me to attend that certain congregation or that certain church? You know, some people base their understanding of what Jesus offers. Well, I'm going to go to that congregation or that church because they have a school. They have a daycare. You know, I work and I have to have a place for my child to go after school or to take them before I go to work. I'll go there because they offer this to me. What can the church do for me? It's not what I can do for the church. You know, these people here that John is speaking of in John chapter 6, they were not seeking Jesus because he was the Son of God. They were not seeking salvation. They were not seeking remission of their sins. They wanted their bellies full. They wanted what Jesus could give them physically. And if you read on down there, it's talking about, well, you know, we'll believe you, but, you know, give us a miracle. Let us see you do some great thing. And then maybe we'll follow you. Is that our mentality today in our lives as Christians? Are we motivated by what we can get or what we can give? That's a very important question. What motivates us? Is it what Jesus offers, salvation, the forgiveness of sin, or what we can get? In Luke chapter 23, in verse 8, we read this. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. He was excited. When Herod saw Jesus, he got very excited, for he was desirous to see him for a long season. I've waited a long time to see you, Jesus. Because he heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You know, some people follow Jesus because it's fun. It's exciting. Some people cannot see beyond their own physical needs and wants. People want a show and not a Savior. This is basically what Herod is saying here. I want to be entertained, Jesus. Jesus did not die to entertain people. He died to call others to follow him and to deny themselves and do what? What are we supposed to do? We're to follow him and to deny ourselves and do what? Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's something that we have to do. It's what we must put forth an effort to do. But you know, there are many people who simply, they don't want to take up their cross. They want to be entertained. That's why, you know, and it's sad to say, there's a lot of preachers who get up at the pulpit and they don't preach the Word of God. They preach motivational topics. They want to keep the people that's in attendance excited and entertained. I hope no one here has that idea that I'm up here to entertain you, because I'm not. I'm not that person. If you're looking to be entertained, then you're in the wrong spot. Because as Jesus said, if you're going to follow after Christ, then you're going to deny yourself and you're going to take up your cross and follow him. When a relationship is built on what someone can give you, it rarely survives when it starts costing you. Did you understand that? I'm sure you did. Relationships really do not survive when all you expect is someone to give to you, but when it starts costing you, you're done with it. What did it cost Christ to be obedient to the Father? It cost his life. For our benefit, what did it cost the disciples and the early Christians? It cost many of their lives. I believe out of the 12 apostles, only John died of old age. The rest of them were put to death in various ways. What has being a Christian cost you? Are you simply looking for fun? Are you looking to be entertained? You know, many in the world, that's what they want. They want a show. Just as Herod wanted. He wanted to be entertained by the Son of God. Serving the Lord and being a Christian is not something to basically to entertain yourself. It is a way of life. It's a life of servitude. It's a life of obedience. It's a life of serving one another. It's a life giving to others. Not a life on what I can get. It's a life on what you can give. Does that seem legitimate? That Christianity is a life to give? Jesus gave his life for our sins. Should we not give ourselves to our brothers and sisters? Should we not give of ourselves our time, our energy, even our money? To the Lord and take up our cross and follow him. You know, some people follow Jesus because of family traditions. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers." Has traditions saved us from our sins? What about Galatians chapter 4 or chapter 1 verse 14? This is Paul talking about himself. "The great apostle Paul, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers." Family often reigns supreme in the minds of many people. And they are what they are because of mom and dad, grandparents, not because of Jesus. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Well, my mom and dad was, and I just kind of grew up in it. My grandparents were. Why are you a member of this or that denomination? Well, my mom and dad were, my grandparents were. You know, we just Everybody in my family goes. I've even had people who, because of parents and grandparents, refuse to obey the gospel. Why? Because they feel that if they do, they would be condemning that mom or dad or grandparent. Are we living by our family's traditions? Let me state it this way. Are you a Christian simply because your mom and dad were a Christian? Or are you a Christian because your heart was convicted of sin and you wanted to obey the gospel to have those sins washed away? Is your faith your faith, or is it your mom and dad's faith? Family tradition is a great thing when it comes to get-togethers, maybe. Passing on traditions. But when it comes to obedience to God, we cannot rely on our family traditions to get us to heaven. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. So if we follow Jesus because of our family traditions, then we're following for the wrong reason. Just like Herod. He wanted to see some entertaining show. Just like mom and dad, you know, I come because of them. People also follow Jesus because they want fire insurance. Now this here, you got to kind of take what I say. There are many who simply do not love God. They just don't want to go to hell. I go to church every Sunday morning because I don't want to go to hell. But they live as sinners the rest of the week. They want a Savior from the consequences of their sins, but they do not want a Savior from the practice of their sins. Don't tell me what I can't and can't do. You know, I'm only here because, you know, I don't want to go to hell. Is not wanting to go to hell, is that a very good reason to follow Jesus? What should be our motivating factor of following Jesus? Is it fear? Is it hell? Or, again, is it because of my family tradition? We should be following Jesus because I know everybody's thinking it. Everybody understands this. We follow Jesus because He died for our sins. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We should be following Jesus because of love. Not because, you know, we simply don't want to go to hell. Should we not follow Jesus Christ because we love Him? Because of the sacrifice that He done for us? Who else do you in your life right now do you know that would die for you? Yeah, I'm sure that a parent would probably die for a child. But this man went to the cross and gave his life while we were still yet sinners. He gave us the way for eternal life. And we should be following him not because we want fire insurance. We should be following him because we love him. And we also follow Jesus because of fidelity, or basically the state of being faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful until death, Now, did you notice what it said here? Be thou faithful on Sunday morning, right? Be thou faithful unto death. That means being faithful every single day of our life. Yeah, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But we don't stay there. We get up. We pray and ask for forgiveness, and we strive to the best of our ability not to fall in that sin again. Be thou faithful unto death. Not just on Sunday morning. And I will give thee a crown of life. We follow Jesus because Jesus is faithful. We follow Jesus because we want to be faithful. Notice John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. From that time, many of his disciples went back. These are people that had been hearing Jesus for a while. And they went back into the world and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you also going to leave me? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. Life is in no other. Life is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why do we follow Jesus? Do we follow him simply because we want to be entertained? Do we follow Jesus because, you know, we want things? You know, many times people have the misconception that when they become a Christian, that all of their problems are going to mysteriously vanish away, miraculously be gone. Now, we all know that's not true. The problems that we had before we become a Christian are the same problems we're going to have after we're baptized and have our sins washed away. The only difference is before we stand condemned, and after we stand justified through the blood of Christ. These disciples here, the ones that became the apostles, They stayed when all others left. They loved Jesus for who he is and not just what they could get from him. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we should love Jesus for what he done and not simply because of what he can give. I hope this lesson will cause us to examine our motives. When discipleship becomes costly, those who follow Jesus for the physical food, fun, family tradition, when our Christian life gets costly, when trials and tribulations come upon us and our motive is anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, then many times people will simply walk away because their motive is wrong. True disciples know the true worth of Jesus. Let us follow him with fidelity through good times and bad times. So what are your motives? That's a serious question. Today, what are your motives for following Jesus? And I pray that each and every one here this morning is following Jesus because of the sacrifice and the love that he showed for us by the giving of his life so that we might have eternal life. But if you're here and not a Christian, you're still on the outside looking in. If you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, we'd ask that you'd come and make that request known. Or if you're here and need a prayer, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.